turn our hearts now to the scripture lesson for this Sunday morning, and you will find it recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, and we will begin our reading today with verse 1, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word. Let's read that again. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them to the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. For herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thus far, the reading of the Sunday morning scripture. Now this Sunday, we continue our journey through the Lenten season. This is the fourth of the six Sundays during Lent. And as you now know, each Sunday morning, we are examining the question, who is this Jesus? Who really is this Jesus? And many have written about Jesus, their thoughts, their ideas, opinions, their conclusions about who is Jesus. So this particular series, we have chosen to answer that question by having Jesus speak himself through his own words, who he says he is, not someone else, but who he says he is. And this particular Sunday morning, we are looking at that portion of John 15 where Jesus identifies himself by the words, I am. That's the covenant word. Each of these begins with his covenant name, I am. And then the modifier this Sunday morning, I am the true vine. Before I share with you a little about the message of the vine, I want to share with you something of a miracle. These happen on a regular basis here, and we don't always comment on them. And I suppose if we did not, folks wouldn't even realize how miraculous these events are. But I've always believed that in planning a worship service, the Holy Spirit is far more active and involved in the planning of the service than we realize. I remember years ago when we had children here and Jackie was doing those children's messages, she and I would never confer on what those messages were going to be or what the message would be that I would bring. And again and again and again, the Holy Spirit would dovetail those two messages together. And over the years, I've pointed out that while I have very little choice and involvement in the music, the selection of music week by week, that's Joyce's area, again and again, I'm amazed at how her selection of the worship music, without the knowledge of where the rest of the service is going, again, seems to coincide so beautifully. Well, I came into the church Wednesday to prepare for our Wednesday prayer circle, and I was met with a marvelous, marvelous surprise. And it's so beautiful that I wanted to bring it and have it in front of you today to illustrate how the Holy Spirit miraculously brings things together. Now, this beautiful display is the work of our sister Susan, who's been gone for quite some time. I don't think she's had any knowledge or awareness of what the services here are on Sunday morning. But some time ago, the Holy Spirit put into her heart to prepare this display for this second half of the Lenten season. And when I came in Wednesday, I'd already spent several hours on a couple of days preparing for today's message. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, only you could prepare a visual picture of the Sunday message on the Wednesday before that Sunday. Because there is a beautiful pictorial rendering of the message of the vine, the branches, and the fruit. So thank you, Holy Spirit, and thank you, Miss Susan. I also would share with you, it's probably not of interest to you, but it was kind of a surprise to me, that in looking back over the years of which the Lord has permitted me to bring messages to congregations on Sunday morning, I have never before brought a message on these verses out of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I don't know why. Who can explain that? And so for me, it was like digging in fresh soil. And it's been an interesting week as I have read and reflected upon not just the words in the scripture, but what these words might actually mean for us as we're living 2,000 years plus after those words were spoken. Well, of course, the main word of today's scripture and message is Jesus' own expression, I am, that's the covenant name, I am. And in this instance, he identifies that part of his person, which he describes as the vine. I am the vine. Now, there is a great amount of material just in these 13 verses that we could talk about, but I thought it might be relevant to mention to you, as I did a week ago, that when you isolate a particular scripture or theme from the Bible, and you focus on that specific theme or that topic, that is like one maybe drop of water in a whole pail full of living water that covers that same subject. So with I am the light, much of the Bible discusses that very subject. When we looked last Sunday, I am the bread of life. The subject of bread is throughout Old and New Testaments. So also the subject or principle of the vine. It's Old Testament, and of course it's New Testament. And as I was looking into a couple of my study books, I reflected that in Israel, there were certain industries that were crucial to the well-being and the life of the people of Israel. One of them was raising sheep. Thus, the whole Old and New Testament principle of shepherding and sheep. Another, of course, is agriculture, that theme, the farmer, the seed, and the growth, that's all through Scripture. But so also is the subject of the vine, because vineyards were a very, very, very important part of the economy of Israel. And therefore, that became a familiar theme throughout the Bible. There are various parables about the vineyard and the planting of the vineyard and the harvesting of the vineyard. And it just seemed like it was such a beautiful way for the Lord Jesus to take his message that he wanted to bring, but to put it in the context of where the people lived. That we call a parable. Jesus taught many, many, many times in what is called the form of the parable. What is a parable? Well, the simplest explanation I have ever heard is that a parable is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. It has a spiritual significance. And so as you look at the parables of Jesus, he tells a story that's very common to the life, the economy, the daily activities of the people with whom he's speaking. But he turns that around and makes a powerful spiritual application to that simple story or parable. So it is with this particular topic today. What is the purpose of the vine? Jesus said, I am the vine. Well, what exactly is the purpose of the vine? Well, the vine is there to produce life for the branches, but ultimately for the fruit. The vine is a crucial part of a vineyard and the tending of the vines. That's why I thought it interesting in the very first verse where Jesus said, I am the true vine, but my Father is the husbandman. Now, that's not a phrase that you and I use on a daily basis. We don't talk a lot about husbandship unless we're talking about husband and wife, and that is not the implication of that word here. This is an agricultural term, and it's referring to the one who is responsible for the caring of the whole project of vineyards or whatever the agricultural product may ultimately be. And the husbandman, I suppose we could call him a farmer, but he's not called that in Scripture. The one who tends the vines in Scripture is always referred to as the husbandman, the caretaker. And that individual is responsible for seeing to it that that plant produces healthy fruit. And there is a great deal of tending and work that goes into the production of that whole apparatus. Now, I have a personal little involvement in that matter of vineyarding, because having a Hungarian father-in-law, if you know anything about Hungarians, most of them had their own grapevines because they wanted to produce and make their own wine. Maybe here, making cider may be a little more common, but there, the Hungarians always had their own vineyards. And I learned from my father-in-law how painstaking and challenging it is to produce healthy vines, thus producing healthy grapes and making excellent wine. So I used to help him every year, go there and work with him. But the part of it that I missed, which I've only learned recently living up here now where there's so many wineries, there's a process that goes on about the month of February, March. And that is the process of pruning. And that's why Jesus made the reference here, that the Father not only tends the plants, the vines, but the word is used here in the original Greek is he purges them. Now, our English understanding would probably be he prunes them like you prune roses, you prune grapevines. And the purpose of that is to produce greater and greater and more healthy fruit. And so that is the work in the vineyard that Jesus ascribes to the Father. Now, Jesus makes some pretty amazing declarations as he speaks to us about the vineyard, about the vines, and about the branches. If Jesus is the vine, then the vine has to be planted in fertile soil. And this is amazing how accurately, Susan, you've got this. The vine is here, and the branches off the vine. But this whole area here is the soil where that vine is planted. And in a way, you and I, as people of the Lord, we're planted in a soil also. I thought a great deal about that this week because it seems to me that the soil in which many are being planted today is a deteriorating soil, is a crumbling soil. It is a soil that is not healthy. And an unhealthy soil cannot produce a healthy vine, a healthy fruit, or in this case, healthy, mature Christian people. I thought so much about this, and there's a lot more to think about, by the way. This has a lot of depth that I was never able to get to this week. But I was trying to think in terms of this parable, who would represent the soil into which Christian people, the vine, would be planted? And it seemed to me initially, as I've thought about this, that the soil that is required for healthy Christian men and women and young people to mature is the congregation. I see the congregation as the soil where Father God wants to plant, so to speak, those whom he's going to mature through the various ministries of a local church to produce mature Christian men and women. And if men and women, young people, are planted in poor soil, compromised soil, soil that is not properly tended and nourished and enriched with the nutrients that are required, then stunted Christians, immature Christians, vacillating Christians will be produced. That brings us, of course, to the ministry of discipleship. That is the ministry of discipleship, that those planted within a local congregation through the ministries of that local church are brought into a ministry of discipleship that will bring about mature Christians. Lots more we could think about in that area, but I want to move on to this rather amazing statement of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." But then he goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now that is a staggering, staggering statement. And one of the problems I think we have when we read scripture, like I just read to you from John, some of these phrases are so familiar that we just flip over them and through them and not stop and say, whoa, what does that mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, without me, you can do nothing? He also said, unless you abide in me. That's a word we just don't hardly ever hear used. I do know that there have been some powerful hymns written about the word abiding, abiding in faith, abiding in Christ. But that is a word that just seems to have disappeared from our Christian vocabulary. What does it mean? Well, I looked it up, in one of our Greek concordances, and the word abide actually means to settle down. One of the expositors explained the word abide in a rather strange way. He said to abide is as if you were to pitch your tent in a specific place and you were to stay there for a specific period of time. So what the Lord Jesus is saying, unless you have pitched your tent, unless you have settled down, or maybe a better way is settled into my life, my word, my truth, you will not bear healthy branches and healthy fruit. That's a powerful statement. And as I again reflected upon this a little further, what this requires in a congregation, in a ministry, and in a faithful biblical discipleship is that we who are responsible for the ministry of a local church are far more given priority to relationship than membership. And as I think about my years, 100 years ago in the seminary and early years in the church and the ministry, I never heard anything about relationship. I don't think the word was ever, I never heard it. But we heard tons and tons and tons of stuff about membership. And you kind of got the impression that the task of the leadership of a local church was to get more members into the church so that it could be strengthened and so that it could go on and do its work. Well, membership without relationship is vanity and emptiness. If there is no relationship to Jesus, membership has absolutely no meaning. Now, you could take that principle and you could apply it to our life in America today. And you could say leadership without truth, leadership without humility and service, and put all of the proper words in there, will lead to nothing. It will produce a weak and enabled nation that cannot function and ultimately will lead to chaos. So just kind of think about that a little bit. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if my words abide in you, that's relationship, that's discipleship. Then he makes another absolutely amazing statement. He said, you can ask the Father what you will, and it will be done for you. Well, that seems to produce an awful lot of thought and question. If we are praying, if we are asking, and we aren't seeing the results, I suppose we would pause and say, is there anything that we aren't doing according to the manufacturer's handbook? I don't have an answer to that, but I have the question. And I've been given serious thought to, is there a relationship today, 2021, between our asking and the results which we see, and would abiding and relationship with Christ have anything to do with the results of our asking? I used to be told many, many years ago that if you announce a church prayer meeting, you might get 12 or 13 people. If you announce a church supper, you could get 200. And I don't know that that principle has any application today or not, but I do know that prayer meetings are not the main event in most congregations. But if you read the book, which I have had on the table downstairs for a couple of years, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, you will discover from James Cimbala, the pastor of that Brooklyn congregation, that that church was a dying, dying church in that center city until one thing happened. The one thing that happened was the Tuesday prayer meeting. And when the Tuesday prayer meeting took front and center over everything else, the Brooklyn Tabernacle today is one of the best known ministries in the world. And the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is virtually second to none. But Jim Cimbala, the pastor, said it was the Tuesday prayer meeting that was the key to the growth in the ministry of Brooklyn Tabernacle. Now, I just want to close with two scriptures, and they're also in the Gospel of John, but they're not in chapter 15. They're in chapter 3, and it's not John 3:16, so you needn't think about that right at the moment. But as I was, one of the days this week, going through and praying about and thinking about this message for today, I'm not exactly sure how I got to this scripture, but I got there. And it's in chapter 3, Gospel of John, chapter 3, and it's one verse. And this is amazing when you think of what Jesus said a little later in his ministry, John 15. Now, this is John the Baptist speaking here. This isn't the Gospel John. This is John the Baptist. John answered and said, a man can receive how much? How much? Nothing. That is an astounding word. A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. Now, that statement of John is repeated ultimately by the Lord Jesus in the upper room in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, but it was first announced back at the Jordan River, not by Jesus, but by John the Baptist. What occasion is saying that? Why did he say that? He said that, if you read the context of this section, because John's disciples were becoming agitated. Because when Jesus began his ministry, people began to leave John the Baptist's ministry and go to the ministry of Jesus. Well, that was, of course, the plan, but the disciples of John became very jealous, and they became very irritated, and they became very cantankerous over this subject, and they complained to John about this Jesus who's taking away our followers. Sound a little familiar? Sound a little familiar? I can't help this week. Just can't help this week. Jackie, I'm going to take about two more minutes, that's all. I can't help this week of thinking about how people are so interested in folks that seem to have position, celebrity status, and popularity, fame and fortune. You watch as we're proceeding along in these days. I don't know why anyone, any person, would ever want his picture in any kind of a magazine or paper. I wouldn't know why anyone would seek fame and fortune and celebrity status when you see what happens to those who do that. Ultimately, they are exposed and they fall. And then we go through this horrible time of just carrying on and carrying on. If I hear about Governor Cuomo one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, that's a sad, pitiful story, but totally predictable. If I hear one more story about whoever in England, whatever their names are, a culture that chases after that kind of situation needs to get a life. And that's why I contrast that, all of that this week, to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, unless you're attached to me, unless you're connected to me, you're not going to bear fruit. You'll be as a branch that's tossed away. How many branches are getting tossed away today? I don't just mean this date, but in this time, how many branches are being cast aside because they're chasing after something other than a true relationship with him who said, I am the vine. You are the branches. As long as you remain in me, you'll be healthy. And not only will you be healthy, you'll produce fruit. Now, if you look at this picture here, you'll see that the fruit of a healthy vine, of a healthy church, the fruit is the people. And Susan, I don't know how you got this, but all the people, the fruit of the ministry is all over these healthy branches. That's amazing. The fruit is not the attendance. The fruit is not the offering. The fruit is not the activities. The fruit is the people. You are the fruit of the ministry of Jesus in this place. And what's so amazing in the conclusion of that, Jesus said, and I want you to produce more fruit. Abundance of fruit is the word. Abundance. And so we who hear this message today, we need to ask ourselves two questions. Am I totally connected to Jesus? And secondly, am I producing fruit in the name of Jesus for the glory of God and the ministry of his people? Let us pray. Father, we are so blessed to have the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God. Help us to abide in the word, Lord, that your words, Lord Jesus, may live and dwell and grow in us, that we may, in relationship with you and with one another, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, but also in service and bearing the fruit of a ministry that is alive in Christ Jesus. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord's people said, amen. If you wish to have prayer, personal prayer for any reason, Brother Lloyd will be up here in a moment to pray with you.